Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we are glad to be here. In fact, we're just glad to be out of the house. And before you have to listen to me, I wanted to introduce my wife, because she wasn't with me the last time I was here. And our kids are with their grandparents, my parents, in Tulsa today. But I wanted to give the microphone to Julie.
So you may not realize this, but this is a very precious moment, because for me to take the microphone away from him very rarely ever happens. Normally, he's the holder of the microphone, and I am just thankful for that. But I'm very thankful to be with you this morning. You know, who was blessed by the testimonies that have been shared here today? And what is the appropriate thing to do when we hear a testimony? It's to praise the Lord, because we know he's faithful. We know he's no respecter of persons, so we know what he's doing in other people's lives, he's doing in my life, he's doing in your life. And so we can take it and receive it and be thankful for it now. And sister, I just want to tell you, it was beautiful. You did an amazing job. I have walked the same path that you're walking, and God is faithful. And he's going to bring you through, and he's going to call you and put you into place where you're supposed to be, because there's a call on your life. So get ready. So I just want to say good morning to you all. I'm so thankful to be here. Thank you, pastors. We are blessed to be here with you. And just thankful to be able to see everyone's faces, and we don't have the masks on. So I will give this back to Matt, and thank you for sharing.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll just tell you, the worship experience is a real treat for us. For those of you that don't know, we live in Beirut, Lebanon, us and our two kids. And actually, from the Sunday that I was here the last time, I was actually sitting right over there, and I got a text message from Julie, who was in Beirut, and she said, "I think they're closing the airport." And they did. We just made it. We actually made it back just in time. Before they closed the airport, and then they closed everything. And we had, Julie added it up, we had 6 weeks in 2020 where we were allowed to be outside of our apartment in total. And even this year, we've had 58 days of just being locked in the house. And so being able to worship with a body of believers, so special for us. So I believe I would have just drove up for that. And so it's a privilege to be able to get to share with you today. And I'm not going to talk long. Have you ever heard a preacher say that? But I wanted to tell you what you guys are doing, what Cross Creek Church is doing in the other Lebanon. And of course, I'm saying it wrong. I realize that. But the way I guess we say it here is Lebanon. Is that right? Am I saying that right? Lebanon. And just so you know, that's also the way you would say it in Arabic. So actually, I'm wrong if I say Lebanon. So it would be Lebanon if we were saying it in Arabic. But we've been there since 2017. And our purpose there is training leaders and church planters. And that means that we routinely encounter people by God's grace that have a call on their life. What does that mean? It means that God said, "I need the gifts and talents in this person to accomplish this thing in my plan." And so we get to meet those people, and most of them haven't met Jesus yet. And so one of the things that Cross Creek Church is doing in the other Lebanon is encountering these people and inviting them into relationship with Jesus. And of course, the lockdown affected everyone. And so just like you guys, we had to go online. And that required a lot of quick learning. Now I'll brag on Julie, because Julie's amazing. So not only is Julie like super mom, and an amazing wife, and beautiful, and she's also helping, she's actually doing all of the ministry. I just get to be part of it. And she just finished her bachelor's degree with honors and is almost done with her master's. So all of this she's doing, plus she's developing new missionaries that are coming over. And so even though during the pandemic, us being locked in, we were able to get an intern that came over, and they moved into our apartment, and Julie has been running the pilot program for what we call the Missionary Leadership Training Program, which trains people to come and minister and live in the Arab world. And that's all Julie. So she's doing amazing things. And then what we're doing in the church there in Beirut is we had to go online. And I don't know if I shared this when I was here last time, but we were growing and we were going to move from the room that we were meeting in into a movie theater. Well, they closed movie theaters. And so we didn't have, of course, everything was just temporary back then. They were going to close for 2 weeks. And 2 weeks, two more weeks. And I just read that in July they're going to reopen theaters. So we had to go online. Well, how do we do that? And so we watched a lot of YouTube videos, and set up cell phones, and God helped us. God helped us. He gave us grace, and our reach, when I say our, what I mean is us and Cross Creek Church started reaching more people in Lebanon than I could have imagined. So I want to just take you back to Easter 2020. And we had spent a really busy couple of weeks. Julie had a new intern who was living in our house that couldn't leave. We're just all stuck in our apartment together. So this woman is here from Brazil, and she's going to learn how to be a missionary. And then we are also trying to learn how to video ourselves and broadcast a message to the people that we can no longer be in the same room with. These are brand new relationships. So we are looking to the Lord, and He helps us. He always helps us. And so we put a 50-minute video message together, which is long, right? I mean, that's probably too long. We put this video together. It had some worship. We even had announcements. We put this video together, and I said to Julie, I said, well, we're going to broadcast this tomorrow, Easter Sunday. How many people do you think will watch it? So my son answered first. He said, well, I think, and he said a number. I don't remember. It was a few hundred. And then my daughter answered, and she said, I think about the same, a few hundred. Well, I mean, a few hundred, that would be, like, amazing, because if we had been able to move and take that movie theater and we had 100 people show up, I would have been amazed. And I said, I think we'll have 300 people watch. That's what I said. And Julie said, well, I think you're wrong. I think we'll have 5,000. I'm like, okay, sure. You know where we live, right? Well, Julie was wrong. And I was wrong. And my son Trenton was wrong. And our daughter Caitlin was wrong. Because we had 15,000 people in Lebanon watch 50 minutes of gospel message. Now, that's not views. That's not people that just watched a little bit of it. 53 minutes of video. 15,000 people. And so we thought, I reckon we should do this again. And so that's what we've been doing ever since. Once a month, we broadcast on Facebook Live, Go Church Beirut. And this last Easter, Cross Creek Church helped us share the gospel with 38,000 people in Lebanon. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. And you know what that is? That's something that the devil meant to stop us. God turned it for our good. And even while we've been here for these few weeks, we've been here for how long? 2.5 weeks? We've been in the States 2.5 weeks. We leave at the end of June to go back. Just these few weeks, our team, these brand new people that are called of God, that we're helping to introduce with Jesus, they have started new meetings connecting these people that only found us through our online broadcast. God is doing amazing things. It's a testament to his faithfulness that when the devil tries to do something to stop the plan of God, he's just so much bigger and so much better. That's why I love that song. He is worthy. Man, I have got this really great Bible lesson. I just can't get to it. It's really good. He's so worthy. You know the words of that song, let incense arise night and day. As we were singing that, I love that song. We were actually listening to that in the car on the way up here, to be honest. If I have it right, that song was written by a missionary. And at least the version that I have in my car is sung by a missionary. So I really love that song. And that refrain, day and night and day, let incense arise. What is that talking about? See, in Genesis, we meet a guy named Abraham. Abram, we actually meet him, from modern-day Iraq. And he has an experience with God. And every time he has an experience with God, he built an altar. And he burnt something as a sacrifice to show he's worthy. He built something to remember this event that happened, that God did. And it cost him something to do it. And it was a memory of an event. And as we move through Abram's life into the life of his children, Isaac and Jacob, we see it again and again. The memorial of events where God turns something around. The devil has a plan, and God says, I'm just so much bigger, and I'm just so much better. And like Julie said, the appropriate response to that is just to say, thank you, Lord, because you're so good. You're so much better. But those lyrics, I was just sitting over there, it was like night and day, night and day. And then Pastor made that comment, the plan. I love that word. People that know me know that I like to plan. Not near like my daughter. My daughter loves to plan. Plan. God has a plan. What is that plan? It's the church. Ephesians chapter 3 says that God's plan is the church. See, Abram, he had an event where God did something for him. Isaac found himself where the economy was shut down. Everything is, it's famine. Everything's dried up. And he invests, he digs a well where he shouldn't be able to, and he finds water. He plants at a time when crops should fail, and his crops prosper. God does something for him, and he remembers it with praise. But there was a plan for something better. There was a plan for something better. Moses had an experience with God. 40 days in God's presence. It was an amazing event and an experience. But in the midst of that experience, God shared with him something better. Rather than just an offering commemorating a single event that God did, God said, let's build a tabernacle and put in there an altar and let incense be burnt night and day. Why? This just came up as we were singing that night and day, night and day. Why? Because he is always worthy, and he is always working. He's always greater than anything the enemy would try to throw at us. I mentioned thousands of people watching Go Church Beirut online, and these are people in Lebanon. Not this Lebanon, that Lebanon. It's great to talk about thousands, but I want to share one. See, Jesus, he's a miracle worker. I love spending time with Jesus in the Gospels, because every time I turn the page and I see Jesus come into a situation where the world has already decided how it's going to go. Sickness has already said, this is how it's going to end. Circumstances have already announced the way things are going to be. Jesus says, hi, I am Alpha and Omega. We met a man a couple of years ago, not a couple of years ago now. I met him in 2016. His name is Rafi. When I met Rafi, he was hard. He was far from God. He had a bad attitude. He had lost his business. He had lost his family. He had lost all the money that he had tried to save. And his parents, his father's, both his parents' health had failed, and the medical expenses had drained not just his financial bank account, but his emotional bank account. And like a lot of people, he looked all around him and said, why? 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 All he saw was the negative. And when I met him, he had no particular interest in anything to do with hearing the gospel. But inside of him were gifts and talents that God had placed there. You know, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells a story about the sower sowing the word. And he said, some seed fell on ground that was really hard, and some seed fell in good ground, and where it found good ground, the seed produced. Well, when I first met Rafi, his heart was like that hard ground. But underneath that hard layer, Jesus, the head of the church, had called him. And so we just kept asking him to come around. And really, we just kept paying him to come around, to be honest. Initially, I met him because he was a taxi driver. And so even after we were able to buy a vehicle, I would still invite him to help us move teams around, move me around, go do things. And little by little, a lot like why your parents would tell you not to play around a creek bank, he eventually got wet. But he only had an event. He had this event with Jesus. It changed his life. It really got his attention. But it was confined to this one area. We were in a village right next to the Syrian border, and I was doing something really spiritual. I had went up on a mountain and was praying. At least that was my intent. About three quarters of the way up, I thought, man, this is really, really far. So I stopped. Julie, on the other hand, took a team of Americans into a militia area. Winning. And Rafi was there, and he was very nervous. And while Rafi's like trying to watch and make sure that his meal ticket doesn't get captured, and the oblivious Americans are just walking around saying, Jesus loves you. By the way, Lebanon is like super friendly, and it's not dangerous at all, just so you know. And the very nice armed militia people were inviting them in. Come on, have coffee. This little boy comes up to Rafi and says, hey, what are you all doing? And Rafi says, the people here, they're from the church and they're praying for people. And he said, oh, this little boy, maybe 7 or 8 years old. His name was Yusuf. He said, will you pray for my mom? He said, what's wrong with your mom? She can't walk. Okay. Rafi's like, these Americans, they'll pray for anything. So let's just... So he goes over to one of our team guys, and Rafi says, this is Yusuf, and he wants someone to pray for his mom. Thank God. Thank God this pastor friend of mine from Iowa. He looks at Rafi and he says, well, you pray. And then he just walks away. Rafi had never prayed for anyone, anytime, anything. Other than saying, why God? That was like the limit to his prayer life. And he shared this story and he said he had no idea what to do, no idea what to say, but little Yusuf wouldn't let him off the hook. So he said, Jesus, please heal Yusuf's mom. Amen. That's it. That's the prayer. Then he tells Yusuf, tonight at 7 o'clock, come to this building where we were having an evangelistic meeting. And he said, we're going to be giving things away. We're giving a little solar-powered audio Bible. So Rafi said, you come and you can get one. He said, okay. So Everyone is fine. Everyone goes back to the meeting house. We have lunch. Nothing, like, we don't hear anything about little Yusuf. Rafi forgets all about it. Later that afternoon, we start getting ready for the meeting, and people begin to trickle in. And we decide we're going to start praying before the meeting. So we're praying, and around in the circle, some people have come in. They're playing music. Rafi begins to shout, "Hey! Hey! Hey!" And I turn and look at him, I'm like, "What is your problem?" He said, "Yusuf and his mother." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He turned and looked, and as we're up in the front praying, here comes Yusuf and the mother that can't walk, walking to the church. So Yusuf comes up and says, "This is my mom." And this little boy said, "You prayed, her legs started working, and she can walk. We came because you told us to come." So this really upset Rafi's apple cart. Because he couldn't blame it on the Americans. It was just him and Jesus, the miracle worker. And he said to me, he said, "Jesus will listen to me?" I said, "Yeah. That's what we've been trying to say." I said, "Yeah." And we all rejoiced. But you see, that event was just there in his life. Like this little square. So that's how big his relationship with the Lord was, this event. That's a lot like Abram. Initially, it's like, "I had an experience with God. He said to go, and I believe him, so that's what I'm doing." And that's where the memorial was. That's where the praise was. But there was a plan for something bigger and greater. Rafi's not like that now. He still has a long way to go. But in March of this year, Rafi shared that testimony on the mission field outside of Lebanon. And I just sat there and cried. Because our heart is to become as useless as possible as fast as possible. And here was a man that started far and hard from God. And the Lord has worked in him change where he is unrecognizable today from who I met. And that's a miracle. Now, I thank God for the miracle of Yusuf's mother. But the miracle change that happened in this man, he is different. I love Jesus. He says, "I make all things new." And I love that because when I look at Rafi, I just see Jesus working. I told you that whole story to share this. At the beginning, he was around us. He'll tell you he was around us because we paid him. But slowly, he'd say, "I don't want money for this. I just want to do it." And then one day, he said, "If I do something to help the church, does God see that?" I said, "Yeah. yeah, he does. He said, okay, I want to help the church. Now, from where he started, I just keep pointing back over there. From where he started to where he is now, unrecognizable. See, from where he started, he's a guy that is just after money. Do you know what he's doing today in Lebanon for us? He manages our ministry finances. Do you know why? Because Jesus transformed him into who he's always called him to be. And where the world tried to limit him and society tried to convince him, this is the box that you have to live in, Jesus said, just don't pay any attention to that. Do you know what that is? Miracles. Miracles. And the appropriate response, I love that Julie said that, the appropriate response when we see Jesus working in someone like that is just to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rafi is one story. I'm not going to monopolize your Memorial Day weekend and tell you story after story. But this is just one example of a life that you're affecting for eternity. And he himself now is going out and sharing. He is speaking. In fact, in August, he will be our main speaker in the Go Church on these big broadcasts that I told you about. How is that happening? The plan of God. The plan of God. Letting the plan of God develop and grow in us is how we see heaven come to earth and how we see Jesus, the miracle worker, turned loose in our life. God's plan is so much bigger and so much greater. So much bigger and so much greater. I love in the scripture we see it. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but in the scripture, heaven is always talked about as above. And that's not just direction, but it's quality. The presence of God, the glory of God, the power of God, he is just so much better. He's so much better. And he's worthy. I want to challenge you right now by faith. Just to close your eyes, lift up your hand and say, Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of praise and worship and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I speak to, and first I thank you for this church. I thank you for this church, not the building, but these living stones. I thank you, Lord, for the gifts and the callings on their life. I thank you for the plan that you have for them. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus for this congregation to have open eyes that see and a flooded heart with light to see clearly the path and plan you have for them. And that these graces that have been in them from before the foundation of the earth set by you, that they come up, that they develop to full fruition in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I wanted to share that testimony. Actually, I had a really good Bible lesson for you, and I'm just can't get to it. And I could force it, but I don't want to. But I wanted to share that with you to encourage you. What you're doing in Lebanon, Jesus is doing in you. Amen. Julie, do you have something?
You know how sometimes you just get something down on the inside of you and it just won't let you go. It just keeps picking at you until you share it. And in the beginning of the service, when the worship was starting, some of our brothers and sisters came up and they shared some testimony, shared some things on their heart. One of our brothers said that he comes and does a very natural thing. He comes and he cleans the church. And he made this comment. He said, you know, some of the other people came and they helped. And they got into places that he never gets into. You know, they got into places that he doesn't get to. And that's what the body of Christ is. You know, the Bible says that we're all members. We're all parts of the body of Christ. We all bring our gifts, our talents that God's placed on the inside of us. And that brings strength to the body. You know, Matt and I do something very natural. We took our family and we moved. How many of you have moved in your life? The only difference is our move was a little bit further. And it looks a little bit different. And there are maybe different opportunities that we face, different challenges that we face. But we did something very natural. But as the body of Christ works together, you know, as you guys bring your gifts and your talents into this place, and you get into a place that maybe we don't get into, you strengthen, you equip all of the members to do more by what you do here. Doing the natural things, you know, it's easy for us to walk through church, see something on the floor, walk past it, and not pick it up. But if we stop and we pick it up, God sees that. He sees that faithfulness, and he honors that faithfulness. And I can't get that out of the inside of me. It's just rolling around in there. You know, when we work together, we get into places that we wouldn't get into on our own. So as we bring that strength, as we bring the divine abilities that God has given us, we get into places that we couldn't go on our own. And that's the importance of the church working together, because God does everything through the church. He accomplishes everything. His plan is accomplished through the church, through you, through all of us working together. So I thank God for you. I thank God for this church, because I know that we wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't be successful in what God has called us to do if we weren't working together with his body. So thank God for all of you. Thank God for you, pastors.
Amen. That was really good. Told you she was really good. Probably got the short end of the stick having me with the microphone this long. Let me just say, as I turn it back to you, Pastor, we thank God for you. And like Julie said, you know, sometimes ministry looks very natural. But while you're doing something very natural, Jesus, he's doing something supernatural in you. And the change that we are reporting to you of Rafi is what's going to happen in you. Praise the Lord. Bless you, sir.
Amen. And we give God thanks also for you, because you are reaching people that we could not reach by ourselves. I remember last year when there were those blasts going off in Lebanon. I remember you, I posted on Facebook requiring prayer, and different ones of us prayed. And we just thank God that you are there, being able to reach people there in Lebanon and Beirut. Hallelujah. I want us to pray for them. You know, I don't think God just allows you to come back here just so you can fellowship with us, but I believe that as we pray with you and for you, that God will just increase his anointing and his effectiveness in you and through you. You know, sometimes you go on vacation, it's a time to refresh, but the refreshing so that you can be more effective when you go back. And so I'm really believing God that your time here is not just to reconnect, which is necessary, but also that it would be like a fresh release when you go back, so that we'd see a greater effectiveness through you and through your ministry. And by the way, even though we support them as a church, you can still be involved in supporting them individually. So if God puts that on your heart, you can still talk with them afterwards about how can I, as an individual, now also support you. So I just wanted to make that known. But if Matt and Julie would come on back, I'm just going to invite some of you folks just to come on up and just lay hands on them and just release God's grace and God's blessing into their lives. So let's come on up, folks, and just lay hands on them. And a couple of you will need to pray, so don't just be looking at me to pray. I'll just give you the mic and allow you to release what God has put inside of you as a body of Christ. I like that analogy because, you know, as Julie was sharing, as a body, we equip each other, and then you are able to reach people and minister to people that I can't reach or minister to them, but you can because of what God has brought you through. Hallelujah. Amen. So who needs to pray first? Let's pray. Let's all be in prayer.
Father, I just thank you and give you all the praise and all the glory. I thank you for this man and woman that you have called to do your work, God. I thank you that they are pillars for your word and that they have made their foundation on you, God. I just pray that you bless their lives. I just see fire over their heads. I just pray that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit more and more and more, God. And we just thank you for everything that you're doing in their life. We give you all praise and all glory and all honor in Jesus' name.
Father God, I just pray a shield of protection over this family, Lord, as they go sometimes to dangerous places, Lord, that in Jesus' name I just rebuke any assignment that's been set against them, and I just break off any evil that seeks to knock at their door, Lord. You are their protector. You are their shield. Lord, your word will go forward through them. You will build your kingdom through them, and you are and you have been faithful, God. We just thank you for the faithfulness that you have placed in this man and his ministry, and we just thank you for your words going forth through him.
Charge over them, Lord, and that you would keep them in Jesus' name.
Father, reading scripture that you have given us double for our trouble. Lord, reading scripture of the outpouring of your double anointing, double grace. And so, Lord, we pray for Matt and Julia and his family and all those who work alongside them. Lord, we believe you for a double portion, that you double their effectiveness in Beirut. That you double their reach in Beirut. That, Lord, you double the resources that they need to be effective in Beirut. That, Lord, you open more doors for them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we'll have testimonies of more and more people whose hearts were hardened or who just came for other motives. But, Lord, your spirit got a hold of them and they're changed and now you're using them. Now we call forth, oh God, a greater and greater effectiveness, more lives being touched and transformed, more families, Lord, being saved, Lord, fathers leading their families to Christ. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for greater miracles, double outpouring of your miraculous work in them and through them, oh God. Miracles in terms of healing, in terms of deliverance, but in terms of lives transformed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that whatever the enemy has up his sleeve, that, Lord, you are much better. You are much bigger. You are way ahead of him.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And so, Lord, I pray that this plan that you have, oh God, for Matt and Julie and the team, oh Father, would be fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That the move of your spirit there would increase. We call for an increase, that the church would increase. It's not just numerically, but Lord, also in terms of maturity and also in terms of being trained and equipped to function. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And we give you thanks. Lord, we call for an increase in worship and praise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Miss Bonnie's behind the camera. Let's just stand as we close off this morning. If you need prayer for any type of situation, any type of need, then after we've closed here, you can come on up front and there'll be people here to pray with you and to believe God with you and for you. Well, let's just close off our time today, and we want to thank, this is Memorial Day weekend, so we also want to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. We want to thank the family members of service people who, you know, they passed on because they gave the ultimate sacrifice. We want to give God thanks for people like that, and thank God for the family members that, you know, they have passed on, but they left a legacy that caused the rest of us to be here today. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your very presence that has been here with us this morning. Father, we treasure your presence. Lord, your presence has made all the difference to our time together this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, for the lives that have been touched this morning and that have been touched even before this. The testimonies that have been shared, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, because we can see and hear and know that you are still at work, still protecting your people, still healing your people, still transforming lives. Lord, we thank you that you are God who's still at work. You're still a miraculous God. You'll always be, because that's the very nature of who you are. Lord, we thank you, God, for the freedoms we have in this country. Lord, for the men and women who laid down their lives so that we can have this freedom. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to bless their families for that ultimate sacrifice. Lord, we thank you, God, for the loved ones, that different ones of us have, oh God, who have passed on but left behind a legacy for us. Lord, we thank you for these individuals. But Lord, more than anything else, oh God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, he laid down his life so that we, oh God, can have life. Lord God, he became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ. Lord, he became poor so that we can experience the riches of your presence, the riches of your provision for us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for you have been such a good, good Father to all of us. And so, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, we ask you that your Spirit might continue to rest upon us, continue to speak to us, continue to lead us, continue to guide us. And, Lord, we pray that as we encounter people, they would sense the very presence of God upon us and experience the love of God flowing through us, and that Christ would be glorified in everything that we would do and all that we would say. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, and amen.